The scripture lesson for the message this morning comes from Galatians, the first chapter. That's the first chapter, and I want to read the first 10 verses. Will you hear these words? Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and to all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As you have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval? Or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our topic this morning, let's talk about heresy. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I believe we have all kinds of different persons, as we should in our life. Some persons are quiet. Some persons are those who are always needing our help and advice. Some persons can make you laugh, and you just love to spend time with them. Some persons are there, and we may not have any definite thoughts one way or the other. And then there is that person who just has a way of getting to us. I think it is often that way with issues. Some might leave us with that feeling of what will be will be, or that expression, whatever. It can be tough today to be on one side or the other. That dynamic of let's all be agreeable so no one can be offended. The question becomes, can a person really live without any passion or conviction? Can a body, whether political or social or educational, can they really be alive without some claim to something that we say is fundamental? Yes. Our religion. One could say that in religion, there should be no heresy. Andrew Swears said, in a dead religion, there are no more heresies. I wanted you to hear that. In a dead religion, there are no more heresies. And so, there should be something about what we believe that makes others around us uncomfortable. A part of why it makes others uncomfortable is it has made us uncomfortable. It is not something that we accepted and we just remained like we were, doing the same thing, believing in the same way. We are uncomfortable because we have been changed. And this is where Paul's letter to the church at Galatia comes to the forefront. I believe we can all find something that we have some issue with Paul about. But if there is one thing that we cannot deny, we know why we have an issue with him. We know just who it is that we are struggling with. He was always very clear about who he was. When some people argued that he really was not an apostle, for he had not seen the risen Christ, Paul responded, "Oh yes, I saw him. I saw him on Damascus Road, and I asked him, what did he want me to do with my life?" To the letter to the church at Galatia, he is able to remind them about their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Paul, in an act of worship, says, "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." It must have been a surprise to the church what Paul would say next. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ." And what is interesting is that there were false teachers, but they were not saying, as they were teaching in the church, they were not saying, "Renounce all that Paul has preached to you." What they were saying was, "Just add on to it. Just add on to it." Circumcision was one way. Pledging allegiance to the law, pledging allegiance to the old covenant of Moses was another way. Another problem was for these teachers, Paul's ministry was being spread throughout the land, really throughout the world. And so all kinds of persons were coming. Gentiles were coming into the fold. And for these devout Jewish missionaries, they wanted them to have some kind of sign as well. We can understand what is happening here, because it is that same feeling that we experience so much today. We can do something on our own. We have a way of talking like that, don't we? A person ought to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. We talk about a self-made man and a self-made woman. We talk about what it is to be independently wealthy. Well, there is a time for all of these things. Just yesterday, I saw on the internet an article, 9 Ways to Make $1 Million. I have the article now at home. I'll read it and let you know what it says. There is a time for all of that. But there is also a time, and now talking about the spiritual side of our life, when we can't do it on our own. We can't do it all by ourselves. And what was happening to the church at Galatia was they were being taught, you can now complete the gospel. You can now fill in the gospel. And so Paul has to write and remind them, hold on. Hold on to what it is that you believe. Don't let anyone take away from you the principles and the basics of the things that you've come to understand about Jesus Christ. Paul could say, hold on, I believe for 3 reasons. To begin with, he believed that in his own life, all at which he had come through was a result of what God had done within his life. Secondly, he believed that the power of God raised Jesus from the dead. And so we are not bound to this present age, but the message of the resurrection, it is what has given us life now. And life everlasting. Thirdly, all of this has happened out of the grace of God. I hope we can hear in these words that humanity, no matter how much we may know, no matter how much we may have, that humanity cannot earn this salvation. I hope we can hear that humanity, we cannot save ourselves. But this gift is offered to all of us, and it is offered to us from the power of the cross. And the meaning of the resurrection. We do not deserve this salvation. We cannot earn it. We cannot subtract from it. And when we think about some of the great religious history of our time, so much of it has been spent talking about salvation is free. One of my favorites, Martin Luther, nailed his 95 theses to the door of the castle church in 1517. He was protesting the sale of items and their distortion, the church's distortion of salvation. Luther wanted to proclaim that the gospel is free. And this grace is something that cannot be earned and is not deserved. In one of the key movements to the end of apartheid in South Africa, it was 1982 when the World Alliance of Reformed Churches denounced the acceptance of racial apartheid in South Africa. They could not accept that salvation and slavery could go together. They were very much opposite. And slavery was a perversion of the gospel. Just a few weeks ago, Reverend Billy Graham celebrated some 50 years of preaching all over the world now. And at the very core of his message, preaching all over the world, at the very core was salvation is free. This message of salvation. The list can go on. And for these people, it cost them their life. These that I am about to name: John Wesley, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther King. It cost them their very life, this message of talking about salvation. Salvation is free. It is free to the point that this message can bring about transformation. Transformation for all who will hear it and receive it. You might be saying to yourself then, Aaron, if I am to take this kind of stand, what is it? What is it to stop me from getting the big head, as they said when I was growing up? What is to stop me of thinking more than myself than I ought to? What is to stop me from becoming arrogant and extreme? It is knowing that the grace of God is alive within your life. Lewis B. Smeads wrote in his book, A Pretty Good Person, "The moment of grace comes to us in the dynamics of any situation we walk into. It is our opportunity that God shows us, that God sows into the very fabric of the routine. It is a chance to do something. Something creative. Something helpful. Something healing, something that unmasks a spot and shows the world that they can be better off." I really thought about that. I thought about what would it mean for the church to really, really, really be the church. Because I am convinced that with all that is going on in our world, that with so much division, with so much tension everywhere we turn, persons are looking, persons are seeking healing. The next judge to the Supreme Court, justice, will not bring us that healing. Reaching for all kinds of directions to see how we can end the war, how we can end terrorism, we're not going to find it. Just looking, and I was thinking about this, Kathy, as we were thinking about our camping retreat, that you hear yesterday at a camp out, young person lost his life. That is the nature of so much of the world that we live in today. But there is an answer. There is an answer. The answer is the church being the church. The answer is the church being alive, dynamically alive. The answer is the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through each one of us. It is the church that welcomes our most babies of babies. It is the church that allows us to hug our most senior of seniors. It is the church that offers the message of grace. And in this message of grace, there can be new life. Oh, for the church to really, really, really be the church. So let's talk about heresy this morning. Trying to make it trying to do it on our own, trying to do it all by ourselves in this spiritual walk in life. It's heresy. We can't do it. And the reason we have to be on guard is that we live in a world that says, oh yes, you can do it. You can even shape your spiritual life. It's heresy. Don't do it. Let's talk about heresy. Let's talk about what it means to say in Christ, I will find my salvation. In Christ, I will live. In Christ, wherever I am and wherever I go, things will be just a little bit different. They will be just a little bit better because the presence of Christ was there with me. Let's talk about heresy. I was walking with our dog this morning and I was thinking about the closing. And I asked Scooter, is it okay to tell the church to be heretics? Scooter kept on walking. I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Because something about being a heretic now. We're talking about changing the world. So let it be. Amen.